In the morning, however, the sustaining wrath had fled. All that remained was a grey, grinding misery, the sensation of failure mingled with the certainty that, however futile, the search must continue, until the egg's final fate, dreadful though it was likely to be, should be known. Temeraire nosed at the last, littlest egg to comfort himself. It had begun to harden, he thought, and would soon cease to be in danger. The event could not come quickly enough to suit him.
"You might hurry, if you liked," he told the egg quietly, "although certainly not so you do yourself any harm. Only if you felt hungry, perhaps, or ready to try a little flying, you might come out sooner rather than late."
Iskerka was pacing, meanwhile, a restless, abbreviated movement back and forth, so her long and coiling tail lagged behind when she made her turns, and continued in her original direction for a while until she lashed it up behind her again.
"Well," she said, "let us be going. It is light again."
It was not yet quite light. There was just enough of a paler quality to the sky to see her shape silhouetted black against the horizon, and the faint white clouds of steam issuing from her spikes, but the men had still to be got aboard. The sun was near the horizon as they finally leapt back aloft, and in their climb they broke into the sunlight before it had struck the land. They had a little while searching before they found the trail itself again, and were obliged to land several times, that Thake might look for signs. The repeated delays were extremely wearing to the spirit, but Temeraire held back the complaints which he might have wanted to make. He could see that their insistence on continuing to search into the night had made it quite impossible for Thake to keep any sight of the trail. He could not be unreasonable, he told himself, and added to Iskerka at the fourth such pause,
"And the chances of finding the egg must be so much smaller if we should lose the trail entirely. It is only sensible, and we are not wasting time, really, but gaining it."
"Yes, yes," Iskerka said. "Is he not done yet? Why ever must it take so long only to peer at the ground, and why must there be so many trees here?"
"As long as they are here, you might let me down to rest under them. I'm very hot again,"
Caesar put in from Temeraire's back, where he had been sternly instructed to remain. Naturally, just to make more of a nuisance of himself, he had put on another 5 or 6 stone of weight overnight, Temeraire thought. It was very inconvenient to be hunting over such forested country. They had crossed now over the mountains, and there were everywhere trees, so one might look as far as one liked without seeing a break in them, except for the river below flowing south and westward away from the ocean.
"It must flow to the southern coast, or empty into some lake or inland sea, I suppose," Lawrence said, looking at them, and at his spread-out maps of the coastline of the continent, sadly incomplete.
"That would be something to look forward to, I suppose," Granby said,
wiping his sleeve across his forehead.
"I would not mind coming across a lake. These smugglers must have water somewhere along their road," he added.
It was very hard to endure the slow pace, the endless trees slipping by, the river winding away from them. Iskerka was of the opinion they had better be done with it and fly onward straight, and Temeraire found it a grave struggle to persuade her otherwise. He had to argue with himself, and not only her, even though Lawrence and Granby were so very certain. Temeraire tried to fly as cautiously and slowly as he might, but several days went by without a sign, and Thake began insisting for all their efforts they had overshot and must go back. Temeraire could not quite believe it. They had been going so very slowly. But Lawrence at last persuaded him to pause, one morning before they had gone aloft, to let him draw out a diagram, showing him the fastest pace the thieves could have made, and Temeraire could not deny it. They had gone too far. They had another 3 days flying back over the same ground, retreating to the last traces they had found and repeating their search, before at last Thake allowed them to continue further. But he had found nothing new. Temeraire landed dully for water that afternoon by the river, full of despair. He could not help but drink thirstily, but he did not feel he deserved it.
"Lawrence," Thake said, rising, "a word, if you please."
Temeraire pricked up his ruff and valiantly resisted the temptation to eavesdrop. Whatever could Thake be saying, which he should not like the rest of them to hear? And Lawrence looked quite serious when he said it. Of course one could not go prying into a secret conversation, but—
"I cannot hear them at all," Iskerka said. "Granby, go and tell us what they're saying."
"Well, I shan't," Granby said firmly, "and you shan't go nearer either. You have enough sins to your account with adding on the vice of listening."
But then Lawrence came back and said very gently,
"My dear, I must ask you to exert the greatest restraint, and to persuade Iskerka to do the same, before I should—"
And Temeraire, stricken, said,
Oh, He has found a bit of the egg?
No, Lawrence said. No, my dear, quite the contrary. But you must not disturb the trail nor lose it. R.K. thinks they were here only last night, and that they kept the egg here on this low hillock of sand. But he cannot be certain.
They are near, then,
Iskerka exclaimed, rearing up on her hind legs.
Stop, stop,
Temeraire said, and leaping pinned down several of her coils to the ground.
You must not flap and stir the ground, otherwise we will lose everything. We must wait. Tharke, can you tell us at all where they have gone?
His wings wished to tremble with excitement. All the grimy sense of despair quite swept away. They had not failed. The thieves had not got clear with their prize.
Why, we have only been flying a few hours this morning, Temeraire said exultantly, and stopping so often. Surely we must find them and catch them up before today is spent after all. And you are quite sure, I hope, that the egg was well when they were here? He asked. Was it near their campfire, perhaps? Could you tell?
I have already provided you the best part of a fantasy, Tharke said, to speculate the egg was here at all. But that was only his dry way, Temeraire decided. Iskerka was all for going at once, with all speed on a direct course, but Granby and Lawrence were insistent on the subject. They had to keep flying their sweeps, for the thieves likely should know by now that they were being so closely pursued.
"It is very inconvenient that we should be so large, and they so small," Temeraire said to Lawrence unhappily, "for I dare say they are hiding somewhere in the trees, looking at us this same instant, thinking, "There they are, and they cannot see us at all," in a very unpleasant, gloating way."
I will go so far as to assure you, Lawrence said, that if the thieves are anywhere and under any sort of cover imaginable where they can see you, and the treatment you have been meting out to the surrounding vegetation, they are not in the least inclined either to gloating or laughter. Prayer might be more to the point.
Temeraire could no longer complain at all whenever Tharke wished them to stop again, and neither could Iskerka. Instead, they peered over his shoulder at whatever speck of dirt or dust he might be inspecting, and tried to work out whatever traces he had found. Temeraire saw nothing at all himself, although he nodded and tried to look wise when Tharke should point at some perfectly indistinguishable patch of ground and call it a footprint, or at an unremarkable bush and call it a trace of passage. A few days later, still at the creeping, sluggish pace, they had struck away into open country away from the river, only creeks and smaller tributaries left, travelling northwest. The forests were clearing out of the way into scrubby grassland, so Temeraire could not mind the dust, however much there was of it, which was a great deal. He coughed and sneezed as he flew, and when they stopped for the nights. Lawrence was anxious on the subject of water. Temeraire could not let such small concerns distract him, and though it was certainly not as convenient to leave behind the river if the smugglers had done so, then there must be water.
"That does not mean we may find it as easily as have they, my dear," Lawrence said, when the last little stream dried away and fell behind them as they flew. "And you must consider, a small party of men may carry their own supply of water for several days, where we have not that luxury."
"But there is so much less cover, too," Temeraire said. "And so it must be easier to see the water even from quite far away, and the thieves too. If only we can find them, we needn't worry about anything else."
"We'd best worry about it, I warrant," Jack Telly said to the other men from the belly netting. "If there's water found, there's some gullets as it'll go down first, and maybe none left for the rest of us."
Temeraire snorted in disdain at this.
"And there is a perfectly nice waterhole directly there," he added, "so you need not complain."
It was easy to see. A faint silvery gleam amid the dusty country, ringed invitingly by many shrubs and a few thin trees, and after they had drunk, Tharke called their attention to the small hill a little way off, where at the summit he had found the midday camp, where the thieves had paused to eat a little. Tharke said,
"I imagine they had a fire here,"
pointing at a bare patch of ground, with a little mess of twigs, perhaps. Temeraire sniffed unobtrusively at this last, after Tharke had stood to move to another part of the camp, but he could not even make out any smell of smoke until he put out his tongue, and then he thought he just barely might have a sense of faintly burnt wood. But then, Tharke said, "And the egg was here." And Temeraire, turning, saw it very plainly. There was a nest of leaves and grasses scraped quite close together, around a little framework of thin branches, and the nest had a smooth, curved hollow depressed within it, just the right size and shape to hold an egg. Temeraire might have scraped together something very like for the same purpose.
"You have brought us up on their heels out of 10,000 acres of wilderness," Lawrence said. "I should not have credited it."
Tharkay shook his head.
"You may praise me when we have them in hand, and I do not see them. Do you?"
Temeraire went aloft for them all to peer about, and indeed he could not see any sign of anyone walking in any direction. There was a little dust going up a few hills over, but that was only some cassowaries running, and in the distance a few wild dogs.
"We must be close if they ate here so lately," he said, rallying his spirits as he landed.